Imagine for a second, that you are tasked with building a high-performance sports car.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Right, so you spend months in this state-of-the-art laboratory designing the engine. You test it on a pristine, perfectly controlled indoor track. It breaks records. I mean, it is an absolute masterpiece of engineering.
Sure.
So you hand the keys over to a regular driver and you just drop them in the middle of a gridlocked highway during a blizzard. What
Well, the
happens?
car is going to break down, I mean, almost immediately,
Exactly.
because, it was never actually built for the chaos of the real world.
Right. And that exact scenario is what brings us to today's deep dive. Because if you've been following the tech space, you know we are looking at a world in 2026 where artificial intelligence, it's no longer just some cool experiment happening in a research lab.
Oh, definitely not. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's running the everyday world you interact with. I mean, from your banking systems to healthcare to the online stores you use every single day. But keeping those massive AI models online without crashing, that requires a totally different type of
It
engineering.
requires the infrastructure to keep the car running in the blizzard, basically.
Right, exactly. So today, our mission is to break down this really fascinating resource from AI MLOps Masters. We're looking at their ultimate MLOps engineering skill complete guide for 2026.
That's a great guide. Very comprehensive.
It really is. And we want to unpack the 15 core pillars that take a fragile, theoretical machine learning model and turn it into a reliable, real-world business application. It is all about how you keep that machine learning engine running smoothly day in and day out.
And that transition, moving from the lab to the real world,
Yeah.
it's incredibly complex.
Okay, so let's actually unpack this a bit. The term here is MLOps, which stands for Machine Learning Operations. The source guide defines it as a hybrid discipline. It combines machine learning, DevOps, cloud computing, and automation to build, deploy, monitor, and manage models in production. But I have to push back on the premise here for a second.
Okay, go for it.
If a brilliant data scientist built this amazing AI model, the sports car in our analogy, why can't that same person just maintain it? I mean, if you're a company paying top dollar for AI talent, why has this become a completely separate, highly specialized skill set?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the skills required to invent an algorithm are fundamentally different from the skills required to keep software running on a global scale.
How so?
Think of a data scientist as like a theoretical physicist or a master engine designer. Their job is to find the mathematical patterns in the data. But MLOps, engineers, they're the mechanics and the highway traffic controllers.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, without MLOps, models that work perfectly in development often fail completely in deployment.
Okay, to make this concrete for the listener, let's imagine a specific scenario. Let's say a global bank builds a cutting-edge AI model to detect credit card fraud.
Super common use case, yeah.
Right. And the data scientists train it perfectly. Why does it fail when they turn it on?
Because the real world changes. And models, they aren't naturally built to adapt to that unless you engineer them to do so.
Right.
So think about that fraud detection AI. The data scientists train that model on historical data. But what happens tomorrow when a completely new type of scam hits the internet?
Customer purchasing behavior shifts overnight.
Exactly. And if the model isn't automated, if it's not monitored and constantly updated with new data pipelines, the predictions will just break. The MLOps engineer is the person who builds the underlying system that catches that new data, feeds it to the model, and updates the application without the user ever noticing a hiccup.
But the MLOps engineer can't build that automated highway if they don't understand the basic, concrete and asphalt required to pave it.
Right, you need the foundation.
Which is where the guide introduces the raw materials of MLOps. It lists three absolute essentials: Python, Linux, and data engineering basics.
Yes. Let's start with Python. Python is widely considered the undisputed king of MLOps.
The king, huh?
Oh, absolutely. The reason it's so critical is its versatility. You use it for scripting, for automation, for processing the data, and for the actual machine learning development itself.
Wow, okay.
So if our bank's fraud system gets, say, 1 million transaction logs a minute, you need a Python script to instantly grab that batch, parse it, and feed it into the pipeline. It's essentially the common language that binds the entire system together.
So Python is the wrench we use to build things, and
Yeah.
then there's Linux. Now we know Linux runs the modern cloud,
It does.
but why is deep command line level Linux knowledge a mandatory pillar for an MLOps engineer rather than just like a nice to have?
Because when you deploy these massive AI models, You aren't running them on a standard consumer laptop with a nice, friendly point-and-click interface.
No mouse included.
Right, exactly. You are deploying them to massive cloud servers. And the vast majority of production environments across the globe run on Linux.
So it's the garage where all the work happened.
Perfect analogy. If you don't understand the Linux file system, user permissions, or process management, you simply cannot navigate the environment where your AI actually lives. I mean, you can't write a Python script to automate a process if you don't know the specific Linux commands required to execute it natively on the server. You're just flying blind.
But Python and Linux are just, they're empty infrastructure if they don't have anything to process. That's where the bottleneck usually happens, right? Getting the model clean data to learn from.
Always. Data is the hardest part.
Which brings us to the third raw material, data engineering basics. Refining the crude oil into clean fuel so the car actually runs.
Right, because an AI model is only as good as the data it learns from. If you feed the engine contaminated fuel, it will sputter and die.
And real-world data is pretty contaminated, I imagine.
Oh, it's incredibly messy. Raw transaction logs have missing values, different time zones, corrupted text, you name it. MLOps engineers need to know how to use databases to retrieve that raw data, clean it up, perform feature engineering, and format it so the machine learning model can actually digest it.
Which introduces a really interesting dynamic, because great data and robust infrastructure mean absolutely nothing if you don't understand the black box that is actually processing that data.
Exactly. You have to know the engine.
Yeah. The guide has a whole module dedicated to machine learning fundamentals. It says an MLOps engineer needs to understand supervised versus unsupervised learning, how model training works, testing, and evaluation.
Yes.
They need to know how the ML algorithms actually work before deploying them. So, my question for you, what does this all mean? Does an MLOps engineer need a PhD in artificial intelligence to invent new algorithms, or are they just learning enough to know when the engine is sputtering?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you are exactly right with the latter. The MLOps engineer is absolutely not the one inventing the math.
Okay, good. That sounds exhausting.
Right. What they need is an intimate understanding of the workflow. You just cannot maintain a machine if you do not understand how it learns.
Going back to our banking AI, how does that actually play out in real life?
Well, if you don't know the difference between how a supervised learning model processes data versus an unsupervised learning model, you won't know how to test them properly.
I see.
Knowing how a model was trained, what its inputs and expected outputs are, is the only way to effectively evaluate its performance in the real world. If you're deploying that fraud detection system, you need to understand the mechanics of classification algorithms so you can set up the right safety nets and testing protocols.
So you aren't building the engine, but you need to know exactly how it's supposed to sound when it's running perfectly.
Exactly. So you can catch the very first sign of a misfire.
Okay, so we have a clean data set, a working machine learning model, and the Python scripts to glue it together. But here is the classic engineering problem. The model works perfectly on the data scientist's local laptop. But the second you move it to the bank's staging server, it completely crashes because of some library conflict. Moving the code causes dependency hell.
Oh, dependency hell is the worst.
To solve this, the guide points to what I like to think of as a standardized factory floor, specifically two massive pillars, Git for version control and Docker for containerization.
Yes. These two tools are the absolute cure for the biggest headaches in software engineering. Let's start with Git and platforms like GitHub.
Okay.
When you have a team of data scientists, MLOps engineers, and software devs all working on the exact same fraud detection project, chaos erupts quickly.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Right. Git is required for version control. It meticulously tracks every single code change and the entire project history. It allows teams to branch off, try new things, and merge them back together without, you know, the new intern accidentally overriding the main fraud logic.
It's kind of like a save state in a video game, but for an entire team of developers.
That's a great way to put it.
But here's where it gets really interesting. Docker. I hear Docker described as high-tech Tupperware for your code, but honestly, that doesn't really capture the magic of it for me.
Oh, it's more than that.
Right. It's like Tupperware, but imagine that Tupperware not only holds your sandwich, but it also traps the exact humidity, temperature, and atmospheric pressure of your kitchen inside it.
Oh, wow.
So whether you open it in the desert or underwater, the sandwich experiences the exact same environment. That is what Docker does for code libraries.
That is an incredibly accurate way to explain it. Docker cures the dreaded, it worked on my machine syndrome, by isolating dependencies at the operating system level.
Which is huge.
It's massive.
Yeah.
When a data scientist builds a model on their laptop, they have a very specific version of Python, say 3.12, and very specific versions of machine learning libraries. If they just hand that code to someone else whose machine is running Python 3.9, it breaks.
Right.
Docker packages the application and all of its dependencies into that sealed container. It locks the atmosphere pressure in, like you said.
Yeah.
So it behaves exactly the same way, whether it's sitting on a local test machine or live on a global banking network.
So we have our perfectly sealed Docker container holding our fraud AI. And one container handles a few transactions just fine. But what happens on Black Friday?
Chaos.
Right, or during the Super Bowl halftime show when millions of people are swiping their credit cards at the exact same second? Having a great model in a container is fine, but you need infinite highway space and a traffic cop to manage it all.
You absolutely do.
This is where the guide introduces cloud platforms and Kubernetes.
Yes, the heavy lifters of the modern internet. Most production ML models are deployed on major cloud platforms, AWS, Microsoft Azure, or Google Cloud Platform.
The big three.
Exactly. This gives companies access to massive, flexible computing power. But you can't just throw your Docker containers onto the cloud and hope for the best. You need an orchestrator. That is Kubernetes. It automates the deployment and scaling of these applications.
Wait, let me challenge this for a second.
Sure.
If I am listening to this and trying to understand the day-to-day job, I might be a bit confused. If Kubernetes is doing all the automated scaling, spinning up new containers when traffic spikes and shutting them down when it drops, why is this a specialized skill? It sounds like Kubernetes is doing all the actual work for you.
Well, this raises a really important question. Kubernetes is powerful, but it is not magic.
Okay.
It doesn't know what your business goals are. It doesn't know what a fraud detection model is. The MLOps engineer has to write the intricate configuration files that tell Kubernetes how and when to scale.
I see. Setting the rules.
Right. At what CPU threshold should it duplicate the container? How do we route the network traffic so no single container gets overwhelmed? And crucially, how do we ensure cost efficiency?
Right, because if it just scales up forever, the bank is going to get $1 million AWS bill at the end of the month.
Exactly. The beauty of Kubernetes, when configured correctly by a skilled engineer, is that it doesn't just scale up, it actively scales down.
Oh, that's smart.
It acts as an incredibly intelligent traffic director. When the Black Friday traffic spike dies down at 3 a.m., Kubernetes gracefully kills 900 of those containers without dropping a single active transaction. That saves the business massive amounts of money. It optimizes the highway in real time.
Okay, so the traffic is managed, but here is the next limitation. The code itself eventually gets outdated.
Always.
If we have to manually take the system offline, update the model with new fraud patterns, and push it back to the cloud every time we get new data, that is way too slow. I mean, the scammers will win. We need an automated assembly line.
This brings us to the automation and CI/CD phase. CI/CD stands for continuous integration and continuous deployment.
Okay, break down what that means for us.
In a standard CI/CD pipeline, every time a developer tweaks the code, the system automatically tests it, validates it, and if it passes, deploys it to the cloud without a human ever having to click a button.
We are literally building automated deployment pipelines for automated learning systems. That's wild. But the guide points out that standard software CI/CD tools, like Jenkins or GitHub Actions, they aren't quite enough for machine learning.
Not on their own, no.
Why does machine learning need a totally different assembly line than just like a regular app?
Because the testing parameters are fundamentally different. If you are updating a banking app's user interface, say, moving a button from the left side of the screen to the right, traditional CI/CD just checks if the code compiles and if the button clicks.
Simple enough.
Right. But an AI model is an experiment. If you update the fraud model with new data, the code might compile perfectly, but the model's logic might accidentally degrade and start declining every single transaction from Europe.
Oh, wow, that would be a disaster.
Exactly. Traditional CI/CD doesn't catch that because it's a data degradation issue, not a code bug.
Which is why the guide specifically highlights ML-specific tools like MLflow and Kubeflow.
Precisely. MLflow is a tool specifically designed to track machine learning experiments. It manages model versions, keeping a strict registry of which iteration of the model performed best against real-world data metrics.
And Kubeflow.
Kubeflow is used to automate those specific, complex machine learning workflows directly on top of Kubernetes. So they're specialized tools built to test the intelligence of the model, not just the stability of the code.
Let's take a breath and look at where we are. If you are mapping this out, we have raw data fueling a trained model. That model is locked in a Docker container, pushed to AWS, scaled automatically by Kubernetes, and constantly updated by an ML-specific CI/CD pipeline.
It's a lot of moving parts.
It is, and the automated system is entirely live. But you can't just walk away and go to the beach. You have to watch the dashboard.
Welcome to the world of monitoring and logging. Once an AI model is in production, it requires constant vigilance. The guide highlights tools like Prometheus and Grafana.
What are those looking for?
Well, they're used to monitor the performance of the model post-deployment. You are looking for system issues, like memory leaks. But primarily, you are looking for a massive problem called model drift.
Model drift. I love this concept because it sounds almost poetic, but it's actually a terrifying technical problem.
It really is a nightmare if you don't catch it.
Let's go back to our bank. Imagine the AI was trained perfectly to catch fraud in 2024, but suddenly in 2026, there is a massive surge in legitimate microtransactions because a new video game released a wildly popular in-game currency.
Good example.
The AI has never seen this behavior before. The world changed, but the AI didn't.
That is precisely what model drift is. The data the model was trained on no longer represents the real-world data it is encountering today. When that happens, the model's predictions start to drift away from reality.
So in my example, the AI might start flagging millions of legitimate video game purchases as fraud.
Yes, freezing the credit cards of furious customers. Its accuracy plummets. Tools like Prometheus collect the metrics under the hood, and Grafana creates visual dashboards so the MLOps engineer can see that drift happening in real time, way before the customer service lines light up.
And this brings us to what might be the most surprising part of this entire highly technical 2026 guide. Soft skills.
Oh, they are so important.
Amidst all the talk of Python, Linux command lines, and Kubernetes clusters, the guide explicitly lists communication, problem solving, and team collaboration as core engineering requirements.
Model drift is exactly why those soft skills are listed as mandatory. Think about the dynamic in the office.
Okay.
When the Grafana dashboard shows the fraud model's accuracy falling off a cliff, the MLOps engineer is the one who catches it. But they aren't the one who designed the map.
Right.
They have to go back to the data science team, explain the complex production failure they are seeing, and coordinate a fix. They operate right in the middle of data scientists, software developers, and DevOps teams.
And I imagine there can be intense friction there. The data scientists probably want to push their exciting new experimental model to fix the drift, while the DevOps folks want stability and absolutely no network crashes.
Yes, the classic tug of war.
So the MLOps engineer is standing in the crossfire trying to make everyone happy.
Exactly. It requires massive amounts of diplomacy. You have to communicate technical problems across different departments without placing blame. If you lack the communication skills to translate a Kubernetes infrastructure problem to a data scientist who only thinks in algorithms, the whole pipeline just grinds to a halt.
It's like translating between two different languages.
Very much so. The guide also mentions continuous learning here, which is critical because, as we've seen, this technology stack evolves by the minute.
It really does. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Mastering this massive hybrid skill set from Python scripting to containerization to human diplomacy, it turns you into a very specific, highly sought-after professional.
Highly sought-after is an understatement.
Right. The guide lists a whole array of career opportunities that open up once you master these 15 pillars.
The roles vary slightly, depending on the company's specific needs, but the core foundation is the same. You are looking at titles like MLOps engineer, machine learning engineer, AI engineer, or maybe a data scientist with MLOps skills.
What about the broader architectural roles?
Yeah, there's also the AML solutions architect who designs the overarching strategy for these systems, and the DevOps engineer who is heavily ML-focused.
Basically, synthesizing these skills makes you the ultimate bridge builder in the 2026 tech landscape. You are the person who takes artificial intelligence out of the theoretical research lab, locks it in a sturdy container, drops it into the chaotic real world, and actually makes it reliable and profitable for a business.
That is the perfect summary. Without the bridge builder, the AI is just a highly expensive science fair project. With MLOps, it becomes a scalable, resilient business solution.
We've covered a tremendous amount of ground today. We started with raw Python code and deep Linux commands, used data engineering to fuel our machine learning models, packed them up in Docker containers.
High-tech Tupperware.
Yes, exactly. handed them over to Kubernetes on the cloud, automated the entire lifecycle with CI/CD and MLflow, and learned how to watch for model drift with Prometheus and Grafana.
And we didn't forget the soft skills.
Never. All while maintaining the soft skills needed to keep the human teams from tearing each other apart, it is an incredible journey from code to production.
It truly is the blueprint for the infrastructure of the modern AI economy.
It really is. But before we wrap up this deep dive, there is one final thought I want to leave you with. Something to mull over as you think about the future of this field. Going back to our car analogy, the MLOps engineer is currently the ultimate mechanic and traffic controller.
Currently.
Right. But the MLOps 2026 guide also mentions advanced trends on the horizon. Specifically things like AI agents and autonomous workflows. These are AI systems that can execute multi-step tasks with almost no human input.
They're definitely coming fast.
As artificial intelligence gets better and better at writing its own code, monitoring its own model drift, and scaling its own cloud infrastructure, the landscape is going to shift again. Will the MLOps engineer of tomorrow still be a human overseeing machines?
That is the big question.
Or will you be a human negotiating with other AI agents that are autonomously managing the deployment pipelines for you? Who maintains the machine when the machine learns to maintain itself? It is a fascinating question and definitely something to think about as you start your own MLOps journey.